The preparation passage for the lesson from the writings of Rabash, Volume 2, Letter 8. There are people who see that the truth is with us, but on the other hand, they are troubled by our method, by our path. And in order to excuse themselves, they have no other way but to disown us and to eradicate our name off of this earth. They dedicate all their energy, brain power, and strength to scatter us to the four corners of the earth. And for this purpose, they scheme ways to place obstacles and stumbling blocks on our ancestral paths, and use all sorts of ways, whether through connections or of the opposite, because they see that it is impossible for the will to receive to survive should our method take root and we spread our goal. Since then, we will have the power to show them the truth. And this seems evil in their eyes. And they think of means of destruction and alleviation of our future, saying, 1 hour before is nice. And while they are not yet filled with hatred, it is easier to reduce their honor until no memory of them remains. For this reason, we owe them a favor and give them 1,000 well done for their respect towards us and their position towards us, since they at least can acknowledge that there is something here that should be cancelled.
Nice passage. You sent it to me? Probably late. Okay. In general, we have to correct the will to receive. That's matter, the substance of creation that cascades down to this world and is processed through the whole evolution in this world, throughout the development, and then it reaches a state where it is completely in order to receive. And in order to receive, to a small extent, it's not the klipot and so on that later on we meet and discover them within ourselves in the ascent on the spiritual ladder. And we have to correct that will to receive, meaning that we have to correct its intention from in order to receive to in order to bestow. And of course, if this will to receive does not stand up, is not clarified before us, then a person does not correct what's revealed in him, what's revealed around him, which is the will to receive. It can be revealed as something internal and as something external, the still, vegetative, animate, speaking. All those around me, it's like we learn it's that very will to receive, like my own. Everything that I accumulate within my uncorrected soul, and it's necessary to correct it. What I grasp, meaning in my five senses, is actually my corrupted will to receive. And it has to unravel more and more every moment in order for me to have what to correct. Meaning, I can't sit quietly and think that from here and now I'll have rest. How will I reach the final correction? But the purpose of creation, in order to reach it, the plan is that Every time I have to feel that something is wrong and I have to correct something. If I depict for myself, if I scrutinize that that which is revealed was all given to me by the Creator in order to do it, that's how I advance. And the group and this entire wisdom have to bring me to the right, to see things in the right way, to see whatever is revealed in the right way. So these corrupted qualities are revealed in us, what we see that we have to correct, and also whatever is corrupted in the world is revealed to us, things that we would want to correct, and especially those that oppose us are revealed, that also are divided into several. I don't want to get into it now. Soon we'll have the possibility and the time for it, and we'll talk about it and scrutinize it. And also say from our inner qualities, the way we're supposed to sort them out into a few kinds and manners, also our inner qualities that stand as our enemies, as those that stand in our way. Of course, it's all according to our plan. It's according to the plan. And as Bala Sulam explains in Dayasam, Me From Before and Behind, that the Creator, He defines and determines when it's supposed to reveal, and it's working and operating on us, and reveals the whole of reality and its internality and externality, and pros and cons and all that, in order for us to every time correct our adhesion onto the Creator as much as we can, reveal it in order to give Him contentment. And the inner qualities that He talks about that reveal, there are several kinds of disturbances that reveal here. On the one hand, first of all, there's the ideological disturbance, that there are different religions, beliefs, methods, naturalism and mysticism and who knows where and what, that it seems that reveal and as if they are against you and you have to cope with it. It's a kind of like the evil inclination that is revealed and stands in your way. And there's like the Rabash says, it's not that they see that you're wrong and so they want to destroy you, but it's God forbid that you will be wrong, or you might be wrong, but it's against them. And I want to destroy that. That's how a person feels. Especially those that were here, that were somehow connected to us. We see, especially those that know us, there are those that know us well, those that participated with us in different things, they go out, and anything that they respected previously as connection, as muscle, as studying, as dissemination, everything becomes the very opposite. There are, it's possible in the meantime to divide this, and I'm saying in the meantime, we'll not go for all the scrutinies. It's possible to divide the disturbances into two kinds. The one kind is that every time it has to reveal, were we to advance in the ideal most possible way and would have corrected ourselves each time perfectly, nonetheless, the evil inclination has to show itself in order to give us the fuel to correct it, meaning atop it to connect with the Creator and rise to a higher level in connection with the Creator. Where each and every ascent, it's upon the evil inclination that becomes the good inclination on the level of degree which we can realize. That's the evil inclination, the disturbances that are revealed according to the plan. From now until the 125th degree, the final correction, it's for sure that every time I have to go against disturbances and see them as helpmate against him and to advance that way. And there are disturbances that it's not that on the way I have to reveal my evil inclination and leave place for work, but because I was not perfect in my work, the work that I was given in the previous state, even a few states ago, and I drag this tail behind me that simply I didn't find it before. There are also many kinds. I didn't find it. I didn't detect it. I couldn't. I didn't merit. Maybe I disrespected. There are many different cases here for which I did not correct myself perfectly, so to speak, on the perfect level. And now, besides the normal ego that has to rise and make place for work according to the order of the degrees, I carry on around with me the work which I did not finish yesterday. So there are two kinds, or manners, and so on, and many more. Where all in all, this entire spectrum that rises, it stands up, it's in a very calculated manner. It's also with respect to the relations in the group and the dissemination that the group does and the world that undergoes the different states of its own. Meaning the whole mechanism of the soul, it gives us now the substance, the matter for work. And the main thing now, of course, is concretely to narrow them down, not to disperse our view of things, to understand that there is none else beside him, so that in our right and correct attitude towards everything, we'll understand how with our work towards whatever is revealed, we can give contentment to the Creator and try and do it. And if it's to give contentment to the Creator, then it's through the connection, through the dissemination, the right kind of perception and understanding with all the obstacles, and so on and so forth. Meaning there is a great big mechanism of different actions here. And when a person gets into it and he starts to sort out the evil inclination which is revealed and the part which is revealed according to the degrees, according to the process that comes according to the external disturbances, internal disturbances, all the different tales that we left sort of from the past that we did not correct, the different reasons that we did not correct. In short, there is what to do, but the main thing is that there is none else beside him. At the moment, it's if not I for myself, then who is? And work with these things on the corporeal level, and on the corporeal level, according to the laws of this world, according to what is accepted, acceptable in society, according to the law, according to whatever you have to settle with the police, negotiation, all in all, the general plan of the rulership of the Creator over the creatures, and that's how we're supposed to be, because among my nation do I dwell. And so we'll understand what is our right attitude toward all the disturbances. And eventually we'll make it so that the angel of death shall become the holy angel, that all of these forces will join the intention of bestowal to the Creator. That's it? So it's clear, right? Now?
Yeah.
How, nonetheless, when, as you always said, with disturbances, we have to work on the one hand in the corporeal plane, on the other hand at the spiritual plane, let's say at the corporeal plane, you know, knock the person out, and on the spiritual plane, you say there's none else besides him. But if I enter the corporeal plane too much, how will I also...
You have to keep yourself all the time. First of all, disconnect from everything. None else beside him. But that now I'm going out to sort these things and act, then I'm going out to sort these things out and act and so on. So now it's, if not I for myself, then who is? So to the extent to which I can get into this, to none else besides myself, but not to lose none else besides him. These two opposites and one theme, not to lose this, that it's called spirituality. And how will I work now? How will I not lose contact with the center of the group in which I want to discover the higher force that's operating? Only as a result of the connection between us, the complete and full arvut and incorporation between us, to feel that on each and every action that I'm allowing myself to do now, I want to bring him contentment. This is what I want to discover. So that's obvious, what you should focus on. And then I'm walking with my hands, my legs, my mouth. But on the inside, I constantly keep that point of unity. That's the work. Yes.
But what to do if I enter too much to the corporeal plane? I mean...
No, so I'm telling you not to get too deep in. You have to protect yourself in order not to get in more than you can keep this point.
How to maintain myself, to keep myself?
They're none as wise as the experienced. Talk about it with the friends and protect each other. It'll help. And the main thing, don't be afraid. Try again and again. If you start and then you fail, the Creator is teaching you. Because it's impossible to learn without making mistakes, because from the in our actions we make mistakes, and within the boundaries of these mistakes we learn.
He writes in this passage, and nonetheless we need to owe them a favor and give them a thousand well done for their respect towards us, etc.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that I say to his face, how good you really are, and you really helped me, that you're jumping me like a dog on the street. No. We, in our work, this is how we have to relate to everyone, that everything comes from the Creator. Obviously, yes.
So this feeling that I actually owe them a favor and give them a thousand well done, is that a yardstick if I'm doing the work correctly?
It's an angel. It's like Pharaoh. Pharaoh is all in all an angel. It's the evil force that is revealed as the matter that if you correct it, you'll reach the final correction. Yes.
I'm asking, is that an outcome that I should receive, or should I approach it directly? That is, sometimes there is an inclination to directly, okay, disturber, somebody comes against me, so thanks, and...
What do you mean, thank you, and so you should smack him in the face?
Oh.
The police shouldn't know about it.
No, but it says the following, we need to be thankful to them and give them a thousand well done, so...
Meaning you have to work on two levels here. On the one level, you have to make as if you completely eradicate him from life altogether, on the one level. The way it's accepted in this world, work, it's precisely like it is accepted to do in this world, on the other level. You have to work with it internally to understand that it's your internal disturbance, and you have to correct something within yourself in order for this villain to disappear from the, not to disappear from the world, but to disappear from the world in its evil form and take on a good form.
Question is, what are the stages? How do I reach this stage, this situation where I feel that I actually am grateful to them?
You have to constantly, on the inside, be in none else besides Him. If it all comes from the Creator, then how could it be that you really treat Him internally poorly, negatively? The whole world is the form in which the Creator presents me, presents to me, where I have to accept these things both for the better, for the worse, as a projection of my current qualities, in order for me to exactly know what is it should I correct, and what to leave, and to correct this by that, and so on. And from all these differences between the qualities, I see the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, these kinds of form, which are my qualities of the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking within my world to receive, that I see 7 billion people and 20 billion kinds of animals and birds and billions of trees and plants and hills and oceans and mountains. This is what I'm seeing, what I'm looking at is a projection of my own qualities. And then I'm aware of it. Like Jonah, he went into the sea became stormy. What does this mean? It's everything. I see my soul, the internality of my soul. Yes.
So what does it mean now, when I see that I have before me some opposers, that they are part of my soul?
You have to cope with them, but because you exist in two worlds, you want to exist in two worlds, maybe you don't exist yet, and maybe you are, because the great Kabbalists, till the final correction, they also make corrections on the level of this world. So you have to do these two things together, both behave in this world according to what's accustomed in this world, accordingly, and also make the inner corrections according to what you have to do. Yes.
I'm asking you, is there an outcome or a yardstick that I should have before me, that the fact that I actually am grateful to them? If I'm grateful to them, then...
What do you mean that you're grateful? It's not that you express it externally.
But exactly as I'm saying, I actually don't feel grateful to them, and
I feel on the inside that they're in my favor.
But I don't feel that way, so I'm asking, what should I do?
So it's a problem. So listen to what I'm telling you and try and understand that all the enemies, they come against us in order to advance us towards spirituality. Suppose we want to come out with integral education. And people come and yell that it's not integral education, it's Kabbalah. You yourself, you wouldn't have said that it's the wisdom of Kabbalah. You would have said, no, it's integral education. You want as if subtly to come and turn to a person this way. But according to the plan of creation from the heavens, it's already felt and understood that the people on the outside are pretty soft and pretty ready for it, in order to, as Bala Sulam says in the introduction to Tess, that it's time to break the partition, break down the wall that separates, the iron wall that separates between the nation and the wisdom of Kabbalah. So Providence sends you a few dogs that bark around, and what do they say? They say, no, it's not the integral education, it's the wisdom of Kabbalah. So they obligate you to make an effort and explain that, yeah, it's true that the wisdom of Kabbalah too speaks about love another as thyself and all these real things, that it is called the true Torah, the internality of the Torah, and that it speaks only about the correction of the person and society for the better in unity. And probably the time has come, you would have, kept it within, but they're helping you. And when it comes to the public through them, they'll accept it. They'll accept it better than were you to say it. You'll see. Meaning, eventually, they're doing such work that directly it's possible that you would have not succeeded. For sure, you wouldn't have succeeded doing it the way they're doing it. Meaning, along with you being afraid of coming out of your own shell, of your own corner, and showing yourself. So they bring you out, they start yelling at you, publicizing you. By the way, it costs a lot of money what they're doing. And this way, they make you, they force you. They force you to explain. What is the wisdom of Kabbalah? What are you exactly doing? Is it a cult or not? Is it okay or not? It's the essence and the basis of human existence, our entire attitude toward life, that this is how the higher forces reveal, that there's nothing else to do, and in our times, that is completely what we rely and depend on. They make you talk. If it were not for them, you would have been sitting in your corner, sitting quietly, reading tests. You would have been ashamed that this is what you're doing. Why? Because you're not doing what the public is doing. The public, they're having a good time. They're going out. You can say, yesterday I saw a soccer game. I drank some beer with friends. Meaning, whatever is respected for the masses, you like publicizing it. You respect that because it makes you normal, like everyone. But to talk about you being engaged in this, you're not really running to do it. Because it's something that is not appreciated by the public. And the dogs, this is what they do. So isn't it help? Of course it is. But don't kiss him today like you're a very direct individual. But you have to see all these things in the two contradicting forms, two opposites and one theme. This is the attitude that you should become accustomed to. They should live, but we'll put them to death. It's like the verse goes, "Beitzchak yikar el chazera, ale oto leolam," and they do not stand in the way of each other.
They attack us, we smack them, and where does love covers all fit in?
They attack us, and we attack them. As if
love covers all.
I don't understand. Speak clearly, please. They attack us, we attack them. Where is love covers all crimes?
Love will come after the completion. Meantime, in the meantime, we did not come to this yet. We didn't even come to the direct collision between us. We first of all have to find out, are they right? Aren't they? Where? What? Maybe we should have a debate on a big TV channel in Israel. Maybe we'll put these things in on. Maybe we'll publicize them in the newspaper and start asking, what do they think that is so wrong about us? Not because we care about it, but in order to open these things up down to the last bit. That's called breaking down the iron wall, that I want to show everyone what the truth is. That the truth is standing behind the iron wall. That's where the wisdom of Kabbalah stands. And here we're losing everything. And the whole world is losing it as a result. And what will be? We need to open all these things up from start to end, to have a debate, and not a social debate, but a worldwide debate, and as wide as possible. So that more dogs will rise against us, dogs from overseas, dogs from different organizations, and from whatever humanity has. built, put together, all the more. Don't be afraid of it, because without that you can't come out of the crisis. Meaning not you, but the world. You don't see it, show it the path. And you're sitting quietly and cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, something about, you say something to you're talking to yourself. Tell them, thank God, that you are a coward and that you're afraid, and they are forcing you to start opening it to the world. And of course, there are many cowards in our group and around the world, and maybe as a result, they'll leave the process altogether, and there are those that will strengthen. Righteous will follow the path, and the wicked shall fall. That's how it is. But you have no choice. It all comes from none else beside him, and we have to accept these things as what we work with.
You spoke in the beginning of the lesson about two types of disturbances. Disturbances that a person has to go through in order to advance, and disturbances that a person goes through as a result of the previous, of earlier, not doing the earlier work.
Right.
I would call it a spiritual overdraft. How does the person leave that spiritual overdraft? From the ordinary work that he does, he has what to do on a daily basis. What does he receive the forces from to overcome his spiritual overdraft?
He has to ask for both from the Creator. It's all coming from the same source. Only that the ordinary disturbances that come according to the degree, they're usually internal disturbances, disturbance of a person himself or with the group, or things that have to do with the audience that he's working with in workshops and so on. But these disturbances that he did not prearrange, these usually come as more external disturbances, either as those who try and put different spikes in our wheels, obstacles on our way, external things, public opinion and this and that, and, you know, trash it. Usually this is the kind.
They say that a person cannot receive something that he cannot cope with, so...
Yeah, but to withstand it on account that he asks for help. You didn't ask for help for the previous thing, sufficient help. That's why you left uncorrected things that now stand up in a worse way, which you did not correct on the previous level, which you could have corrected, you know, very simply. The small effort, now you have to give 100 times greater effort.
So that it means that now I've created an ability that's 100 times bigger than the things that I was able to cope with. If I didn't have the ability to cope with these things 100 times over, I wouldn't have these things.
Were you not to, if you wouldn't have been slacking about it, you would have corrected it.
I understand that. But let's say it was planned that Meir, as an example, would have to go through 1, 2, 3, 4 things.
And it was not planned that Mary did not pass.
So I could have gone through 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. Now, if Mary did not go through 1, 2, 3, 4, he didn't do these things.
No, he'll do it, only he'll get beatings.
How come Mary has the strength to do 1, 2, and 3, and 4 together?
No, together you can't. You won't. You don't. It's accumulative, of course, but each time you correct something, and correct it by suffering. Till now, you did not correct anything, but you've advanced by way of sufferings. The suffering that you went through, they corrected your ways, because every time you advanced and on unconscious stage or phase, you weren't in contact with the Creator. Now that you start the work with being in contact with Him, even giving Him contentment, then from this point on, there's a completely different calculation made toward you. First, you felt an additional ego, you exerted yourself, and eventually Yosef saw success, and then disappointment, and again, you got a more increased ego, you exerted yourself, Yosef reached something good, and another disappointment, until the greatest disappointment comes that you die, and from all of your work, you have nothing left. That's all in all the advancement. And that's what a person suffers as a beast that advances and suffers throughout its life. That's the correction. For that beast, that's the correction. When he already becomes a man, Adam, on the path, when he has contact with the Creator, becomes similar to him to some extent, he has a point in the heart, then the calculation is different, because here he already has to advance consciously. So consciously, you can't simply advance through suffering. You have to reach a state where you scrutinize it, you make analysis and synthesis, you dismantle everything, you take it apart. The Gemara talks about the forms of that you take it apart and put it together. And in short, your question is, if I did not correct 20% of the previous degree, from the previous degree that I was supposed to correct, and now it adds up to the current state, where do I have the strength? Where do I get the strength from to correct the 100% of the current state and the 20% from the previous state? The 20% from before, they add to whatever is now in a very special way. Much more, in a more, much worse way. On the one hand, and on the other hand, in a much more scrutinized manner, because it's worse. I can't find the words yet. In short, for sure that on the current level you can get help, ask for help, and get the help for all deficiencies which now awaken in you. That's how the ladder of degrees is organized. Whereas part of your work is also in whatever you did not previously correct, this was also under higher providence. That's how it is. I can't express it yet, but you understand that here there is an ideological correction. For the bad that happened in the past, and now it inverted into good, you have to find their compensation with the Creator. It'll clear up. We have to get emotional discernments from the field. It'll come quickly, quicker now. From what I understand, the purpose of all the enemies, the dogs, if something like that stumbles upon my way, it's open things up.
I'm actually waiting with great anticipation for them to get up, rise against us. So great, these dogs, that they'll start talking about us, yelling at us in all kinds of international organizations, all kinds of countries, all kinds of governments, and then we would be able to explain to everyone. We will be forced to come out and explain to everyone, and they also accordingly give us the possibility, because that's how the world is arranged, that they'll also let you say something. And then you'll be able to explain what it is that you have in your hands, what it is that you're proposing to everyone, what are you giving them, handing them.
Meaning that if this thing already opens up, then to open it up.
Then it's not a dog that appears, it's a lion or something.
And I have the ability, the opportunity to explain, so I'm supposed to open it up.
Oh, certainly, sure, yeah, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. What am I? The other way around, it's very good, very good. But we will have to see it in that way, in such a way that it's convenient for me, that I'm able to do it this way, not that way, etc. But not to be afraid, not at all. It is specifically an opportunity to do what Balasulam wanted to do, and they shut him in quietly. They shut him in. They shut him down. We can do this work now. And let them try to shut us down. Let them try. So, all of our groups all over the world will start appearing, in the riots, demonstrating before the Israeli embassies, all of these things. We'll do this, operate everybody the way we should. Well, why not? Through the internet, for all kinds of things. What's the problem?
I'm trying to reach the point of what does it mean to open up? The Creator's goal in this whole move is to break down the wall. It's
to open the eyes of humanity regarding the true problem and that we can fix it. And if not, then, really, what is all of this about? About the process, a terrible process that has never taken place before. If you take all the sufferings of the past, it is nothing compared to what might happen, what could be. Yes.
Now, if I get this possibility, opportunity to explain,
so, who is helping you? Pharaoh is bringing the people of Israel closer to our Father in the heavens.
Yeah, but I stay that same, I'm afraid, like...
Yes, but you are forced to come out of your cowardness, because you have no choice. They come and they blame you, and they make you into a rug. They present you as a rug and a liar, dirty, a thief. All of the things that they are, they drop it on you. It's simple, politics is simple. So, whether you want to or not, things are arranged in such a way that you are forced to come out and start as if to protect yourself, defend yourself, but it's not defending yourself. You actually will open up the entire truth. But all the way, don't be afraid of anything, but in a rational fashion, and we have to learn how to do that. But gradually, not slowly, but... Here there has to be a very good explanatory system. If they are wise, they'll understand that it's not worthwhile for them. And we will really lack this publicity. Well, what can you do? Yes.
In the system, we have to reach hatred. In the situation, we have to reach hatred before love with the audience and so on.
Look, if I detach myself from the upper providence, I start hating him. If I go with the upper providence and I realize that all in all he's an angel and he himself is really nothing, then how would I hate him? Then I don't hate him. I begin to relate to him in a purposeful manner. How can I, through him, advance even more in my work? I don't look at him, he himself, rather as an opportunity to advance.
Yeah, but what we learn is that from great hatred, like we talked about it many times, great love grows. It could be the same process with the masses. We toward them, they toward us.
Well, in the end, it could be that, yes, but as an accumulation over the whole process, don't look for it to suddenly invert, flip.
To continue what Niv said, this evening we're meeting with this company in the north. We see a factory that we want to offer them a course. Suppose I come to that factory and they say, we heard about you, you're from the Kabbalah, you're a sect, and this and that. I could tell them, nah, it has nothing to do with one another, and maybe they'll accept it, or I should tell them yes and explain what that means.
For the time being, it's better to tell them that it's unrelated. And later they'll discover the connection, because it's hard for them at once to grasp that it's actually the same. It's hard for them to even grasp that Torah means the light that reforms. It's not clear. It's not clear. It took me a long time until I understood this principle. Because even I, who wasn't religious and I didn't grow up in Israel, and I was up to the age of 25, I didn't hear this word Torah. You know, I knew what Bible means, but Torah? What is that? You know, I heard stories that, yes, it's an ancient book, it's an old book, fine, everything well done, but not more than that. And it's hard for people to grasp that here we're talking about the upper force, that we can discover it in a kli that we create by ourselves, which is called connection between us. And from there, from that connection, we discover the upper force, and it corrects the entire reality of ours, and it elevates us. That is, it elevates us in our awareness, in our sensation, in our perception, into another dimension, where instead of feeling what we now feel in our five senses, we will feel with five sefirot. We'll perceive in five sefirot, and that's the spiritual world, along with this world, until we will completely correct this perception. How would you start explaining this to a person? You'll think that this lunatic is now coming into my factory to do the same with all of my workers? And what's going to happen to them? They'll all go crazy. What are you talking about? You have to explain to him in a simple, common way. But in the end, bit by bit, and this is why it's called education, integral education or social education. You see, it's bit by bit they start hearing. And here, all of your adversaries, well, actually, they're going to help us, actually. It still changes compared to what we had, say... Well, I started learning the wisdom of Kabbalah, reading all kinds of books in 1976. So, it was something very weird, very scary. People, especially secular, but well, the religious in particular, were afraid. I didn't even see, you know, what about, or how much. And so I was thinking, maybe, where are the secrets that are here? Some unique things, maybe such evil forces, and... It was something that, you know, it was like a black cloud. And see what happened. It took 40 years, but you can't compare. Even though you see that, you know, it takes time until, you know, it comes out of all the people. But, you know, with the younger generation, it's easier. Even people who are in their 40s, they look at this differently already. You know, it passes. And also there's a great crisis in all of the other circles. It will be good. So, if it appears, Baal HaSulam wanted to do that 70, 80 years ago, almost 100 years ago, he wanted to do that. So, what about us? 100 years after him, we'll still be afraid to do what he wanted to do? In the 1940s, he publicized the newspaper The Nation, and all of these articles about Arvut, about Matan Torah, everything that he wrote it in the 1940s. And later it was the Zohar and the commentary of the Sulam. So, how can we just sit idly and not follow his steps? Take it a little bit forward, even if you don't go forward, at least you join him. That is a huge merit, privilege. So, I don't know, all that we attain by keeping at least a little bit what he wrote, what he did in his life. Otherwise, you know, what are we to do? Just go and enjoy your life. Or, you know, either you take that path or you don't. I see many people, both from the students of Rabash and the students of Baal HaSulam that I met. None of them is alive anymore. But in my time, there were still 5 or 6 or 7 of them. Well, what can I say? Everything depends on us. I saw and I still see how much... Well, you know, what do you get out of the study if you don't actually realize it in practice? The actions only between us in the group? We saw how much he actually operated in the other way of opening things up, how much Rabash operated in order to open things up. When I came to him, he had in the morning lesson 7 or 8 people, and in the evening lesson a few more. On holidays and on a Shabbat, there were a few dozen people, and, you know, it was enough to, you know, he wasn't searching for a way for himself to advance, rather to advance the world, to allow me, a student who came from Rehovot, you know, from nowhere, some Russian guy, to go to the Kabbalah Center of Berg and bring students from there. Bring them to Bnei Brak. Those secular guys, you know, half, you know, on drugs, you know, etc. You know. What? He wasn't thinking. He was at the age of 75 back then. He didn't imagine to himself what will happen as a result. It was such a revolution in the Bnei Brak of back then. You know, it was like a village. What's Bnei Brak? And he went for it, for dissemination, more and more, bringing people closer and disseminating to a wider audience. And he didn't care that they are seculars or whatever. The main thing was, you know, because it's about correction. So, you know, you can see what he writes about those assistants, the negative as if assistants. Don't be afraid of them. Rather, this is a part of the advancement, and I would even say the good part. Imagine if, well, at a younger age, I touched the world of science a little bit, so I know how they live. If there was just a single scientist without all kinds of other scientists rising against him and checking if he's right or wrong, and they want to contradict him, and it's not this way, it's that way, where would he know if he's advancing correctly from? It is impossible. How? My daughter is now in a convention of biologists. They're actually on a ship nearby. Ah, a big ship, you know, 10 floors. Yeah, having a good time in this convention, yes. But what am I trying to say? That before she finishes some sort of a study, what kind of a tanks are there, what kind of scrutinies and tests, if it's true or not, false, if they didn't somehow distort things. It is always, you know, with everything where you want to reach the truth, without the oppositions, the conflicts, it is impossible that there would be any sort of scrutiny. That's life. It's always a struggle. But only out of that can something come out. Therefore, tranquility is really a shell. It's what, you know, pulls you, it pacifies you. We have to understand that. And the other way around, the scrutinies, this burning life, well, the group has to give that the correct force, the vitality. That is life. And if we'll have such a spirit that actually this is how we advance, then people won't run away out of fear, because we have many of the such people who are not yet ready for this. And they'll understand that this is the form of our advancement. That's how we are going on a path. What can you do? It's always attack, attack, attack. What do we see from the whole story of the Torah? The whole Torah story, from the scene of the Tree of Knowledge and onwards, it's always blows and blows and blows. But blows where each time you scrutinize more and you advance more. And you derive pleasure from these blows because you discover the truth and you enjoy that. And what they strike is the ego, not you. That's how it ends up, if you relate to it correctly. Yes.
Terence from New York is asking, what can the Friends from the World Kli do in order to support the Friends at Petah Tikva against the obstacles that they stumble upon in dissemination?
Well, to be together, not to support. We don't need support. We need to be together. Simply together. We need more and more to feel what it is that we're doing and help us. Help us prepare materials, say video clips, all kinds of things that we don't have the time for, since we're really choked here. We really have no time. And join the work more and more. If we will build in Israel an example for a corrective society, it will be an example for the whole world. And therefore, in the end, the direction should be that the attack, the strike, should be the sum total of our work has to be here. It won't help if in Brooklyn you have, I don't know, some nice building, you know, or you know, work with the tenants somewhere. It's not the same general collective framework. It's not the same collective spirit. And nowhere else has that. Nowhere else. It could have been, I can imagine it somehow maybe happening in Russia, but the external conditions of the regime, etc., I cannot imagine this happening with the regime and the religion there. But according to the people's character, maybe it was possible. But you don't have better conditions, and also according to the origin where it should happen, as here. Any way you look at it. So all the groups have to support, as he says, what we're doing, and try to participate in that work as much as possible. So to see that the actual work, we're doing it here with their help, with their participation, and we have many things that we need to do. It's interesting, I'll tell you. Israel, as you know, is a collection of people from all the diasporas. We discover everywhere there is a group of English speakers, people who come from these countries, Spanish speakers, Italian, French. They can join these groups here in Israel and start taking care of them, supporting them from there. It's very interesting. We are discovering, right? You really have French people in Ashdod, Anglo-Saxons in Ranana and Herzliya. What do we have? Spanish, you know, people from Spanish countries. They have complete areas, and you know, even have such organizations that are, you know, for every language and every territory in the world. So in such a way, you can support them, speak to them, be in touch with them. This I would really recommend to do. So it's not that we will take care of those groups all over the world, rather the groups all over the world, in return, will take care of Israel, of those people that came from those same countries. That would be interesting, that would be good. In that, there is a connection of root and branch. Well, we have a few more minutes. Yes?
Rav, two questions, please. The one is, the opposers and the wicked, according to our sources, is it one and the same, or are these different things?
He says that there are those that were here before, and they come out of us, and now they want to harm us. Why do they want to harm us? Because if they leave, they have to justify themselves. Why did they leave? If you will be right, then they end up being unjust, incorrect. How can they live with that, with being incorrect? So they'll do everything in order to contradict you. That's one thing. There are those that what you are saying goes against their viewpoint. They say Torah is this, and Mitzvot is that, and this is how it is. And you say that it's not exactly this way, it's actually different. Your Torah is actually the Torah of truth, and it is called the internality of the Torah, and not their Torah. Their Torah is called the opinion of the landlords, and for you it's actually the opinion of the Torah. So you're actually contradicting them as well, right? So what's to be done? They have to contradict you in return. So they try in all kinds of different ways. You have to take these things with the correct and right attitude that the Creator is giving them the strength to show up in particular manners and intensity, that if you will start correspondingly to perform the right action, you will actually be able to explain to the broad public and even their public how much things are not exactly the way that they say. But we need to learn how to do this and not to be afraid and not to run away. Not to run away from this. We have to attack in a nice, dignified manner, massively, accompanied by the origins, or quotations from the sources, proofs, and not, you know, this is what our, you know, the sages of today, the smart people of today are saying, but really take it from the source. We'll do that. Life is working in our direction. If I was them, I'd be sitting quietly, but the Creator is actually evoking them, obviously. They can't help themselves. They don't realize it's actually for their detriment. Because if you don't have the truth in your hand, but only stubbornness and brutality, you won't be able to succeed with that over time. Here you need proof. Here you need logic. And not just fanaticism. Yes.
The second question, Rav, about what you've explained with respect to the resistance and opposition. Everything that I heard against you up till this day is it's not one-sided, meaning on the one hand there's great they're against you, but on the other hand they appreciate you.
So what? I don't need this respect.
So I'm trying to understand, because the opposers themselves, all of the everything they say is very dry. Two, three things that they base themselves on. And one more thing is that opposer, he's a poser, but he is pulling from both sides. On the one hand, he opposes it. On the other hand, he understands that you're a man of truth. So how should we relate to this?
I don't know. Look, how to relate. That this is an angel coming from the Creator. I have nothing more to say. I don't relate to him. Towards him I have neither mercifulness, nor love, nor hatred, nor anything. It is a force, just like some machine that is operating. I don't relate to him like a person. No, an angel is not a person. An angel is a beast, some sort of biological machine that is now operated in such a way that it gives me the possibility, it even compels me, not just a possibility, it forces me to respond in a particular special way and say something to the world. This is how I relate to him. And in general to all of these organizations, all of those people, this is how I relate to them. Because here there is nothing real. It's not about wisdom, or it's not truth. It is simply a manifestation of a desire that has to be arranged in a particular way. And we need to arrange it to give it the right direction of in order to bestow. That's it. The Creator is showing a desire in them, an opinion, a desire that we have to, how shall I say this, shape it, wrap it with the intention to bestow. Take it in the right direction and that's it. We'll move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.